Oh, we're good? Okay. Okay, we're good to go. We're good to go. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So good to be here. So very good to be here. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. We'll continue our study in the book of Galatians. We'll be in chapter 3 here today. Last week, we finished off the section where Paul asked the 6 questions to the Galatians, which, as I said, were very good questions for us, too, to consider, because they will only point us to Christ, and they will only point us to the fact that salvation's of the Lord. It's all His doing from beginning to end. And that's a good thing for us to be reminded of and for us to keep our eyes set upon. So we conclude from those questions, too, that salvation is of the Lord. It's not of anything we do. And that's from beginning to end. Because when Paul brings forth, did the Spirit begun the work? Did you finish it with your flesh? No, not at all, right? It's all dependent upon the Lord from beginning to the end. As in the book of Revelation, it says He's the Alpha and the Omega. And we know that that's true, not just as He is the Alpha and Omega, but it's true that even in our salvation, He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So let's read verses 1 to 9 of Galatians chapter 3. Today's verse will be verse 6. But I'd like us to read the context of this verse here. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So again, these questions that Paul asks will hem us up, won't they? They will literally hem us up to Christ and Him alone. They will hem us up to the completed, finished work of Christ, which Paul brings forth in verse 1 when he says, Christ was set before the Galatians evidently, set forth before them, clearly set forth before them, is crucified for the sins of His people. And God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, doesn't He? Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Into the hearts of His born again, His chosen, blood-washed people, granting us faith to believe. So we see these questions, and all we can conclude as believers is salvation's of the Lord. That's all we can conclude. That's all we desire to know more about, is how our salvation is complete in Christ. Because we know we can't save ourselves at all. So we trust the Lord, don't we? By simple faith, we trust the Lord. We look to Christ and Him alone as all of our salvation, as the salvation of our eternal souls. And when we hear that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, equal with the Father, equal with the Holy Spirit of God in every way, when we hear that Jesus Christ, our sovereign Creator, became a man, and His entire life on this earth in human body was a life of perfect obedience to our Father, then we rejoice greatly, don't we? Because we know He's sinless. So He did that for you and I, beloved. He did that for us. He obeyed the law of God perfectly for you and I. And when we hear we have no righteousness of our own, what a change that is, isn't it? Because there was a time when we thought that we were good enough by our supposed works to get to heaven. Until the Holy Spirit revealed the Scriptures to us, and the Scriptures clearly say there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one, right? So what a shock to us then, right? Coming, being born again, and all of a sudden seeing this by the grace of God, and then the Father, through the preaching of the gospel, sets forth the balm of Gilead, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look to Him, don't we? By God-given faith, is the only Savior from all our sins. The only Savior for sinners. That's why we say to folks, come to Christ. Flee to Christ. He is the only hope of sinners. There's no other hope outside of Christ. And when we hear that the pure, spotless Lamb of God offered Himself up as a sacrifice for our sins. And that's what we conclude from those questions, isn't it? That Christ was crucified for me. Each believer says, He's crucified for me. The pure, spotless Lamb of God offered Himself up as a sacrifice, and that He obtained eternal redemption for us, and that His blood has cleansed us from all sin. We rejoice, don't we? We rejoice, beloved. Every time. That never gets old, does it? Tell me again. You could just preach a sermon to me on Christ's blood taking away my sin, and that His perfect obedience to the Father. I'd be happy to hear that every day. I'll tell you what. Tell me, as Norm and I were texting back and forth this week, and Norm said, I pray the Lord will bless you telling the old story. And that's what it is, isn't it? The old story, how Christ died for sinners. Oh my. And when we hear that we're now reconciled to God, we're literally reconciled to God through Christ. In Him alone. We now have peace with God. And that, again, Christ was delivered for our offenses. And He was raised again for our justification. Which, again, we can conclude from those questions, can't we? It's all the work of Christ. It's all His work. And when we hear that Jesus Christ, the God-man, is on His throne right now, right this second, right now, what peace that can give us. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world. Our King, He rules right now, beloved. Right this second, and he's not going to abdicate His throne. So when we see things going on in the world, you know, and even if something happens on Tuesday that we don't agree with, right, or we agree with, Christ is still on the throne. He's still on the throne, beloved. I've been here now for since when Clinton was president. And you know, my life hasn't changed through all those other presidents. Has yours? Isn't that wonderful? But people get all riled up about all this and that. God's on the throne, beloved. No one will be able to do anything unless He allows it. Hallelujah. The Lord God reigns. And so we rejoice in that, don't we? That He's our blessed surety. That He's our sovereign Lord over all creation, everything. There's not even a microscopic organism that moves without Him knowing. As one preacher said, there's not a maverick molecule in this world. There's not a molecule going, I'm going to do whatever I want. It's all under His control. The dust that we see in the windows, right? When the sun shines, every single one of those dust is ordained by God to be in that place. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help me. Oh, my. So Paul, after asking those heart-searching questions, now he's going to bring forth before the Galatians the simple faith of Abraham. Do you know Abraham just believed God? Now we know that's by God-given faith, right? Because no man can believe or woman can believe without God giving us faith. But you know, he just believed. You know, his faith is the same as ours. We have the same faith as Paul. Same faith as Peter and John. It's God-given faith, isn't it? That's what we have, the same faith. Isn't it wonderful? Look at this in verse 6. This is wonderful. So Paul's setting forth here, remember, that justification is in Christ alone, right? Through faith alone in Christ, all right? Look what he says here. Even as Abraham, what? Believed God. The question is right now, do we believe God? Do we believe what God says in His Word? Well, by God's grace, I do. Right? By God's grace, I believe what this word says, and by his grace alone. And I find great comfort in it. I find great comfort in it. You know what? Turn quickly to Psalm 44. This wasn't in my notes, but Norm sent me this. He goes, look at Psalm 44, verses 1 to 3. Let's take a quick peek at this. I got a blessing reading this morning. I want to share this with you. Look at this. Now, you talk about give you peace. Oh, my gosh. Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears. By God's grace we have, haven't we? Right? O God, Elohim, the strong and mighty one, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people, and cast them out. Look at this. For they got not their land in possession by their own sword, not by mighty works of man, right? Neither did their own arm save them. Oh, our own arm didn't save us, did it? Look at this. But thy right hand, that's Christ, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast had a favor upon them. Ha! And God had favor upon us, beloved, in Christ? Isn't it he who saved us? Oh, he's showing such favor to us, hasn't he, in Christ? Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? So let's go back to Galatians 3:6. Look at this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what did Abraham do? He believed what God said. And by God's grace, we believe what God says, right? Scripture says, God says there's only one Savior for sinners. There's only one way to heaven. There's not a million other ways. There's only one. And that's Jesus Christ. And we believe, God, by God-given faith, we believe him, don't we? I didn't believe that before the Lord saved me. I didn't believe that at all. I thought it was all about me. All about my supposed good works. Psh, boy, was I in for a big surprise, right? My goodness. But praise God, he saved me. Now think of this too. The whole Jewish nation, they glorified in Abraham. We see through the Gospels where they're bringing up to the Lord Abraham, right? They gloried in Abraham. And these Judaizers who bewitched the saints in Galatia, they tried to persuade them to be circumcised by using Abraham as an example. But there's a problem with using Abraham as an example for circumcision. You know what that problem is? Abraham believed God before he was circumcised. So there's a problem with that, isn't there? And it says here, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's before he was even circumcised, beloved. So they can't use Abraham, can they? And Paul is just going to undo their whole argument. He's going to just and he does it so plainly with this first verse. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Can you hear him now? They'd say, those Judaizers, well, when Abraham was older, he was circumcised. Yeah, but he already believed. He already believed, beloved. It had nothing to do with his salvation, did it? Absolutely none. He was already a saved man. Oh, my. He believed God before he was circumcised, and righteousness was imputed to him. Just as this is imputed to us, beloved. And God justified, we can see here, that God justified Abraham before he was even circumcised. Because it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he believed that, again, before he was even circumcised. Oh, my. So it cannot be that any of God's children can be justified by circumcision and belief on Christ. No, it's Christ alone. It's Christ alone. It's like folks that say, well, you have to be saved by Christ and then speak in tongues. That's a false gospel. And there's a group out there that says you must have faith in Christ and be baptized to be saved. We can just identify those, can't we? Right? Because the true gospel says it's all about faith in Christ and trusting Him. His work was complete. His work was perfect, right? Can you add anything to perfection? I can't. Because if I add anything, it's going to be spoiled. It's going to be messed up. Because I'm a sinner. He's perfect. I'm just going to trust Him. I'm going to trust His perfect work. Because God says, neither is there salvation in any other man, but Christ and Him alone. Right? So who are we going to believe, man or God? Well, I believe God. I already believed man when I thought I could justify myself. I don't need another man tell me that I can be justified by something I do, because I already know I can't be, because I believed that way at one time. You see how God changes our mind? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it amazing? He's so good to us. He's so very, very good to us, beloved. And this faith, where it says here, Abraham believed God, this faith is childlike faith. It's just trusting God. It's just trusting God. Just the way a child trusts the parents. You remember when our kiddos were little, you tell them something, they believed it right away, didn't they? They just believed it. No, they didn't even question. They said, okay, Mom, okay, Dad. Right? That's how our faith is with our King, isn't it? God says that there's only salvation in Christ. We say, okay, Abba. Okay, Father. By God-given faith, don't we? We believe it. And then think of what Abraham did. He forsook his family, didn't he? He left Ur. All his family was there. His whole family was there. He left Ur. Right? He forsook his homeland. And what else did he forsake? He forsook all his idols. He was an idol. Do you know Abraham was an idol worshiper? Came out of the land of Chaldees. They're all idol worshippers there. He was bowing before rocks and stones and wood. And God said, Abraham, you come out of that. You're mine. Now, did Abraham, the day before God saved him, did Abraham know that? He had no clue, did he? He's just worshiping his idols, going about his stuff, and doing his thing, and God calls him by His grace. And he once worshiped those idols, now he's worshiping the one true living God. Isn't that amazing? And why? All because of God's grace, because it pleased God to do so with Abraham. Bring it right home to us. Why are we not still serving the idol of self? Or the out of the religions we were involved in. Because it's all by the grace and mercy of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it's just so wonderful. I'll tell you why. So he forsook all. So we've seen so far in these questions that Paul set forth before the Galatian church that the only answer, again, he's hemmed them up. You know, I remember my brother had some cattle. When he had to do some things to them, they go in this little ramp thing that would hem them up, and then they'd shut this little back gate, and then they'd do whatever they had to do with them, and then they'd let them out the front. Well, these questions do that to us. They hem us right up into that little wee gate section. Door shuts. We can't go nowhere. And we don't want to, do we? Oh, it's all about Christ. It's all about Him alone. So the answer to these questions is salvation to the Lord. Now he brings in an illustration that they can understand. Right? That they can understand. And the Jews, again, they held Abraham in high esteem. So I imagine these Galatians had heard about Abraham, had heard about how he came out of the land of Chaldees, right? Had heard about how he was circumcised. Why else would they even consider that? Except these Judaizers have been whispering in their ears about all this stuff. And here, the very one who the Jews, the very ones who the Jews held in high esteem, Paul uses an illustration, remember, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the true author, and says, Abraham was saved by faith alone. Because he believed God. Well, that just upset the whole apple cart, didn't it? You mean he's not justified by any law works? Nope. law wasn't even there yet, was it? Oh. Whoops. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that certainly puts a stop to that, doesn't it? Oh, my. It's wonderful. I'll tell you what. You know what this shows us? This shows us that the message of grace is divinely has a divine origin. It has a divine origin. Absolutely. And that the message of the Judaizers, or false religionists, which is diametrically opposed to the one true gospel, is of human origin. One's divine, and all the other religions in the world are of human origin. That's what it is. Whether people believe it or not, it's true. It's true. You guys know I like reading even fiction books about the Roman legions, all the different gods they had and stuff. Oh my gosh, all these different gods. It's just incredible. And that's just the Romans, not including the Greeks and all the others. All these false gods. You know what? God's made up from man's imagination. And they were always mad at him. Isn't that something? They either had to do with the lust of the flesh, vengeance, war, all these different things. No peace, though, eh? See, peace only comes from the one true living God, doesn't it? It only comes from Him. And that only comes to us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, one might say, well, what is the occasion for this argument where Paul's now bringing forth Abraham? Well, the Judaizers, again, taught that the natural descendants of Abraham were God's children just by their birth. We know no one's born into the kingdom of God, are we? None of us are born into the kingdom of God. When I hear someone say, well, I was born a Christian, I know right now I'm talking to someone who does not know Christ. They don't know Christ. Because not one of us was born a Christian. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. Right? So the Judaizers taught that since the Israelites were natural descendants of Abraham, they were automatically God's chosen. They were automatically accepted by God because of their birth. And therefore, it meant that circumcision was a prerequisite for salvation. They argued that no one could participate in the blessings, of God's covenant with Abraham unless they were circumcised. Well, do you ever think of this? This only includes the men. What about the women? What about the women? My, oh my. See, salvation in Christ is for man and woman. And children, right? Who knows? Can the Lord regenerate a child? Oh, yeah. If He's so pleased, He can give him faith to believe. Absolutely. My. But all this teaching was based on a misapprehension of Genesis 12 and 17. And they argued again that no one could participate in the blessings of God's covenant with Abraham unless they were circumcised. Again, that just includes the men. Oh my. And their mistake was in failing to distinguish between the purely Jewish and national covenant God made with Abraham, which had to do with the earthly ministry and destiny of the nation of Israel as a channel which God would use in bringing salvation to the elect, right? That salvation would come through them simply through a descendant of Abraham. You see? The Messiah. He was Jewish, wasn't he? The Lord's Jewish. And His name, that descendant through Abraham's line, is the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. So they were set apart for that. It didn't mean they were automatically saved. How is one saved? Whether you're Jew or Gentile. Through Christ alone, right? It doesn't say, well, you're saved because of your nationality here, and then the Gentiles are only saved in Christ. No, it says both Jew and Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond and free are one in Christ, beloved. See, Christ is the common denominator. Right? There's no salvation because I'm Canadian. Right? It's true. And there's no salvation because you're all American, right? It's true, isn't it? It's in Christ. We have a common denominator in our salvation, and that's Christ Jesus our Lord. It's wonderful, isn't it? We rejoice. So circumcision, what circumcision was a mark of separation upon the Jew, isolating him from the midst of the Gentile world. They were God's chosen people, that the law would come to them, right? The prophets would go through them. That the Messiah, all because the Messiah would come through them. You see? And God protected them, didn't he? Showed them great favor. And remember, there was always a remnant in that nation. There was always a remnant who were saved. Oh my. And he separated them that he might use the nation of Israel, what? For his own purposes. And he did, didn't he? He used them for his own purposes. The Messiah came through them. It had nothing to do with the acceptance of salvation by the Jew over against the contention that Paul argues that Abraham was justified by faith, not by circumcision. So the Judaizers are saying, well, because they're natural descendants of Abraham, they're automatically saved. I've heard that from people in religion too say that. Well, no, it's not true. There's salvation in no other but Christ. Right? That's why, again, we say flee to Christ. Jew, Gentile, don't matter what nation you're from, flee to Christ. He's the only hope for sinners. There's no hope outside of Christ. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. We're going to go through Romans chapter 4. Because this has great connection to this. Abraham believed God. That's all he did. He just believed God. He just believed what God said. My, is that not what we do? God says there's salvation in no other. We say, well, praise God, it's the Lord Jesus Christ by God-given faith, don't we? And we trust our eternal souls to our great God. So Romans chapter 4 here, we're going to read verses 1 to 10 first. We see in verses 9 to 10 that Paul proves his case when he shows that Abraham was declared righteous before he was circumcised. Again, which demonstrates that his circumcision had absolutely nothing to do with his salvation. Look at here, it says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father is pertaining to flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So what he's saying there is, if he's saved by his works, he's going to glory, but he's not going to glory before God, is he? Yeah, he's glorying in himself, brother. Yeah, amen. He's self-glorification, which is what I did in religion. Right? Self-glorification. For what saith the scripture? Abraham what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Same. See, Paul uses this second time here. He's using it second time, isn't he? This is important then, isn't it? If Paul's using it multiple times, this is very important right here. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the record not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you can work your way to salvation, it's not grace. It's not grace at all. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Look at that! Look at that! Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. I love this verse. I'm going to read it again. But to him that worketh not, just trust in Christ, just resting in Christ, but believeth on him. Same thing Abraham did, right? Just believe God. But believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, or her, is counted for righteousness. My goodness, that's wonderful news, isn't it? You mean I don't have to work my way to heaven? Nope. It's called rest. Rest in Christ, right? Look at this. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Whose iniquities are forgiven? All who trust Christ. Whose sin is covered by the precious blood of Christ? All who trust Christ. And David calls us blessed. Oh, we're blessed, aren't we? We're blessed. We're blessed far above any other person in this world. Oh my. Come it now, here we go. So this blessedness David speaks about, does it come then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So see, now he's asking a question, another question here, right? Verse 9, cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So he's saying right here, Paul or Abraham was saved in uncircumcision. Isn't that wonderful? Salvations of the Lord, right there in the Old Testament. Believe what God says, right? And by God given faith, we believe, don't we? We rejoice. We rejoice. Now let's read verses 11 and 12 of Romans 4. Paul sets forth this truth before the saints at Rome. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. Look at that. So that we know, right, just from reading this, we know then what those Judaizers were peddling was false. It's false. Can't be saved. That he might be the father of all them that believe. Look at that. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Who's that talking about? Gentiles. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had yet been uncircumcised. So there goes the whole argument of the Judaizers falling, crashing to the ground. In verses 1 to 11 of Romans 4, Paul sets forth clear that Abraham was justified by faith. Believe God. He believed God. God-given faith. Received from who? The Holy Spirit of God. And if Abraham was justified before he was circumcised, then why was he circumcised, one might ask? Well, his circumcision and the circumcision of the Jews, again, was a sign or token of that covenant that God had made with Abraham and his natural seed concerning the enjoyment of the land in his favor. That's what that was all about. It had nothing to do with his salvation. Circumcision is also a typical sign of Christ, and all the ceremonies of the law were of the shedding of blood to cleanse from sin. And the circumcision of the heart, which again we know from Colossians is an operation of God, right? You must be born again. It's an operation of God. He does that upon us. When we're born again by his almighty power. So it was a seal to Abraham that he should be the father of many nations in a spiritual sense. And the righteousness of his faith, which he had, should come upon them, Gentile and Jew, after the same manner. How's that? By faith. By faith. See? We believe God, don't we? Let's look at Romans 4, 23 and 20-25. Now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Well, that means us too who are reading this right now, right? To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So his righteousness is imputed to us. By God-given faith, we believe God, right? When we're born again. Look at this. Who was delivered for our offenses, my sins, your sins, if you're a believer, right? And was raised again. You hear me say this all the time because it's so important. What was he raised again for? Our justification. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. Praise be to God. That's wonderful. And all of Abraham's natural seed were circumcised, it was only those who had faith in God. Only those who had faith in God who were saved in Israel. Only those who were looking to the Messiah coming. Let's read now Romans 4:20 to 5:1. Actually 5:2. Now, this is a portion where the break in the chapters is not really good, because you're going to see how this flows so beautiful when we read verses 20 to 5:2. And this is talking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what we do, right? Trust Christ. Now, our faith is weak. Sometimes it's strong. Sometimes it's weak. Sometimes it's strong, right? So was Abraham's. How do we know that? Well, he went and lied to that one king, right? But she's my sister. Right? We're all the same, right? He had fear of that king. We're all the same, right? Oh, my. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. But we fully are persuaded that Christ is the only Savior of sinners, right? And that he will one day take us home, because he saved our souls. And therefore, look at this. It was imputed to him for righteousness, because he believed God, right? Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it should be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now look at the next two verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, God-given faith, we have what? Peace with God. Oh, look at that. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this also. By whom also we have received, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Take note of Romans 5:1 there. What a wonderful verse. We now have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people have, we have that right now while we're on this earth. No matter what's going on all around us, we got peace with God, beloved, through Christ. Yeah, could I only get that in my head, right? Amen, sister. Exactly. Lord, write it to my heart. See, we're all the same, eh? We're all the same. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're justified through Christ, and therefore we have peace with God. And this peace arises from the fact that in Christ we're righteous. We're righteous in Christ, beloved. Our sins are forgiven. We're holy and unblameable in God's sight in Christ. And out of Christ, men are at war with God, aren't they? We were. All I'd have this man rule over me. Oh my. But in Christ, oh, peace. Peace. Now look at the wonderful verse 2. We see that by Christ we have access into grace, the grace of God, a state of favor, sonship, acceptance, all through Christ. And notice in these two verses that peace and grace are distinguished from one another. Peace denotes a particular blessing. Right? And what's being brought forth there is we're reconciled to God. We have now peace with God. Peace. And access into grace, that implies a state of favor. It implies all blessings. If we have access into grace, then we have all blessings in who? Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Reconciled to God and access to all blessings. My, and have peace. And God gives his covenant people his spirit. That's his born-again, blood-washed people. We're his covenant people, beloved. Through the preaching of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit gives us faith to believe that God has justified us through the perfect redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe God just as Abraham believed God. By God's grace and mercy. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? Absolutely wonderful. Brother Steve, can you close us in prayer? Yes. Yes.
We pray, eternal Savior, watch over us. We give you all the greatest glory and blessings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. Amen.